Welcome back to the game. Tyler Dreiling and Grant Flanders with you until 6 o'clock. If you missed anything from the first hour, had a pretty good round of match game. Talked about which K-State athletes we'd hate to see arguing with each other on Twitter in light of what's been going on with Skylar Howard and Bruce Irvin of West Virginia. If you missed anything, check out the podcast page after the show, newsradiokman.com, under the on-demand tab. Also have some time to take some phone calls if anyone wants to voice your opinions on K-State basketball and where the Wildcats are currently at. 537-1350-866-776-1350. Everyone knows about K-State and West Virginia tomorrow, but what about the rest of the Big 12 and how big are these games? Well, it's actually a pretty good slate. It's a slate of games that's certainly going to have my attention. And one positive thing about K-State playing early at 11 is that after that, hopefully, you're feeling great about things because it means the K-State won, but in any case, you're going to have the rest of the day that you can sit back, enjoy some pretty good basketball. First on the docket, TCU at Baylor. TCU is 17-7, 6-5 in the Big 12. Baylor ranked 6th in the country at 21-3 and 8-3. This one is not going to harm TCU at all by losing it, at least in my opinion, but if they are to win this game, get to 18-7 and 7-5 in the Big 12, you'd be talking about a TCU team that's getting awfully close to NCAA tournament lock territory in the first year under Jamie Dixon. And man, what an accomplishment that would be for him to go in there. And they've got a solid amount of talent, I mean, a good foundation to work with moving forward. In the bracketology update that came out today from Joe Lunardi on ESPN, TCU is actually a lower seed than, well, I guess I should say a worse seed than K-State. K-State is a 9 seed. TCU is a 10. But again, if you go into Waco and win that game, if you're the Horned Frogs, you're sitting in excellent position. I don't think it's going to happen, but even if it doesn't, TCU is still in solid shape. It's 6-6 in the Big 12 with 6 games to go.
I've been pleasantly surprised by what Jamie Dixon has been able to do in his first year at TCU, turning a program that has really thought of basketball as a just overthought it. It goes over people's heads when you think of TCU and basketball.
It's kind of like KU football a little bit.
Exactly. And Jamie Dixon coming from Pitt, I mean, he was successful at Pitt as well, but just moving over to the Big 12, now he's bringing a team that's been in the bottom ranks of the Big 12 up on the up and up in his first year. I'm excited to see what he's got to go for the years to come, because he still has some recruiting to do. I think he's a solid recruiter. He showed that at Pitt, and it's good, you know, for the Big 12.
It's been a weird team to watch, TCU, because they, in the Big 12 SEC challenge, they lost at home to a very average Auburn team, 88-80. I believe they gave up like a 26-3 run over the course of that game. But since then, they've really pulled it together, and it actually started in Manhattan by knocking off K-State at Bramlage Coliseum. They beat K-State, then they beat Texas at home and beat Texas Tech at home. None of those wins, or the Texas and Texas Tech, neither of those are overly impressive, but you do need to separate yourself from other Big 12 bubble teams, and they did that by finding a way to beat Texas Tech in their last time out. So they're on a 3-game win streak. I give them a fighting chance tomorrow. We were talking in the first hour about ESPN's lack of faith that K-State can beat West Virginia. Their basketball power index has West Virginia as a 91% chance to win. They're giving a better chance for TCU to go into Waco and win. They're saying Baylor has an 86% chance. So that probably sounds about right. I don't think TCU is going to win, but it wouldn't totally shock me if that were the case. Moving on down the Big 12 schedule, next one up is KU at Texas Tech. This is not one of those situations where you feel like, well, if Texas Tech loses, it's not going to hurt them that much. They actually need to find a way to win this one if they're going to stay within striking distance of the NCAA tournament. They are hurt significantly by their non-conference schedule and just their overall strength of schedule. They're currently 89 in the RPI right now and a strength of schedule of 119. Now, that is going to improve by playing KU and a couple other good teams down the stretch, but they're 4-7 in the Big 12. If you fall to 4-8 with a loss to KU, the odds of getting to 9-9 down the stretch doesn't look real great, especially considering look who they still have left. After they play KU at home, they play Baylor at home, and then their next game is at West Virginia. They also still have a road game at Oklahoma State and a road game to finish off the regular season at K-State. I don't think there's any chance that they go through that stretch 5-1 over their last six. They really need a boost if they're going to stay in the mix. Otherwise, Texas Tech is probably looking at an NIT season, which is not bad for them. Chris Beard in his first season in Lubbock, they are a solid basketball team. But if they're going to stay in the NCAA conversation, they need a win tomorrow against Kansas.
Yeah, and you're right. KU, Baylor, West Virginia, all back-to-back-to-back. Kind of like the stretch K-State's finishing off now by taking on West Virginia. And, yeah, they need to find a way to win at least one of those games and then run the table after that, most likely. Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Texas, and then a tough one at K-State to finish it off.
If you're a K-State fan, you're probably hoping that Tech just continues to drop some of those games so that they don't feel like the NCAA tournament is still within reach when they come to Manhattan in that regular season finale. It would be really nice if that's a team coming in that knows it's going to be in the NIT and doesn't have a whole lot to gain by actually beating K-State. We'll see exactly what happens. And, of course, whenever Kansas is on the road, it is like the Super Bowl for whichever team is playing them. So I'm sure that United Supermarkets Arena is going to be hopping tomorrow afternoon for that one. But I don't think that Texas Tech is going to be able to win that. Moving on to Texas and Oklahoma State, 3 o'clock tip on ESPN2. Oklahoma State and Iowa State, we're going to get into that one here in just a second with Oklahoma going to Iowa State. Those are the two teams that have the most to lose this weekend. Oklahoma State is sitting in great shape as far as the RPI is concerned. They're like 29 or 30 or something like that right now. But look at their record. They're 4-7 in the Big 12. So that's similar to Texas Tech. If you fall to 4-8, you're going to have to depend on a really, really good finish to be able to get to 9-9. And they do have some tough games still in front of them. They have a road game to TCU, road game to K-State, road game to Iowa State, and they host Kansas in the regular season finale. Do I see them getting to 9-9 with a loss tomorrow? I definitely do not. Now, the good news is you are playing arguably the worst team in the Big 12 in Texas. They're 10-14. They're 4-7 overall. I think Oklahoma State should be able to win this one, but their backs are against the wall. They do not have any breathing room for this one.
Luckily, they've gotten both games versus Baylor and West Virginia out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
The toughest matchup down the road is the last game of the season versus KU, and then probably K-State is the second hardest matchup along the way. So their road the rest of the way isn't extremely challenging, but they're gonna need to win a lot of these games to be in that conversation.
They're still sitting in a better position than K-State's in terms of Lenardi's bracketology. He's got them as an 8 seed right now, where he has K-State as a 9. But again, at a certain point, that schedule is going to work against, or excuse me, not the schedule, the record is going to work against Oklahoma State. And that actually applies even more to Iowa State. And that brings us to the last game on the docket, 5 o'clock tip-off on ESPN2, Oklahoma in Ames to take on the Cyclones. Iowa State has a 6-5 record in the Big 12. That is a very positive thing. Their RPI is fine. They are a tournament team as of today. But they are hurt by how many losses they had in the non-conference schedule. They lost, and I mean, it was a very tough non-conference schedule. They lost to Gonzaga. They lost to Cincinnati. They lost to a pretty average Iowa team by 14. But you look at it this way, they are sitting right now at 14-9 overall with their overall record, and they're 6-5 in the Big 12. If they go 9-9, well, that means that they have they're 17-13 as their overall record entering the Big 12 tournament. They would still look really good with their RPI, but I just don't know if the committee would give the benefit of the doubt to a team with 13 losses. That's just a lot of losses. And certainly you cannot afford to drop a home game to Oklahoma as part of that equation. That would take a lot of the good graces away from beating KU on the road, which was a huge win for them. But you can't turn around and then lose to – I mean, they lost at Texas this week. And then if you lose at home to Oklahoma, that totally wipes out what you accomplished by actually beating KU in overtime. So Iowa State, another team that should win tomorrow. It shouldn't be particularly close, but they are playing with a lot more pressure on them than their opponent will be, certainly.
And the rest of the way, they still have a matchup against Baylor at home, and then they finish off the season at West Virginia. So a couple of tough games for Iowa State. But, yeah, they've been an interesting team. Their overall record definitely is not an indication of what this team is, I think. But 6-5 in the conference shows that they're a solid Big 12 team, and they showed it by beating Kansas.
One of the big things that I think that Kansas State has going for them is, in comparison to the other Big 12 bubble teams, talking about TCU, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, and Iowa State, I think K-State has the easiest finish to the schedule, the easiest six-game finish with not having any more games left against KU, West Virginia, or Baylor. That's the only bubble team that doesn't have any of those left. And so you would hope that K-State would take advantage of that and also be helped out by the fact that the committee does generally seem to reward teams that get hot at the end of the year. Well, K-State could help its argument by, say, going, 4-2 over those last six, and you would put them up against, maybe a TCU or something like that that went 2-4 and say, well, if we're in a head-to-head competition here, you should take us because we're playing better basketball right now. There's still a lot of things that have to get worked out here, but that's a general idea of where everybody sits entering what I would describe as a pivotal weekend of action for a lot of Big 12 teams. K-State not among them. K-State doesn't have quite as much pressure on it to win tomorrow at West Virginia. It'd be nice, and it would get K-State really close to that lock territory, but they do not have to win in the same sense that I feel like Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, and Iowa State all have to win.
Yeah, and that's something we brought up a few weeks ago before when they were on their three-game losing streak going into Baylor. They need to win one of those three next games between Baylor, KU, and West Virginia. They got the win versus Baylor, so you're right. They don't have to beat West Virginia tomorrow. It helps. And something I like about the rest of the way is the three road games after West Virginia, two of the worst teams in the Big 12, at Texas and at Oklahoma, and then one against at TCU, which would be huge to split the series between those two teams.
And you're probably looking at situations where those road games against Texas and Oklahoma are played in empty arenas. I mean, I don't think, even though those are, I believe both of those are Saturday games, and generally the attendance is a little bit better on Saturday games versus midweek games, I don't see any reason that the people in Austin would want to turn out for a Texas K-State game. Don't really see why they would want to turn out in Norman for a K-State Oklahoma game. You could make the case that that's a negative thing, that you want some crowd there to create some energy so you don't have to make it for yourself. I don't really like that argument. I would rather K-State play in front of an unenthused arena if they're going to be on the road and win those two games against the bottom of the Big 12.
Yeah, should be interesting. Not a bad road the rest of the way, but we'll see what they can do tomorrow.
Yeah, they can avoid, or they can save us here on the show from having to talk about their NCAA tournament hopes a lot if they just take care of their business here in the next like week or so. If you beat West Virginia and then you beat Iowa State at home, you're pretty much in at that point, and we won't have to waste our breath down the stretch wondering, well, how does K-State compare to this team, and look at the RPI, and look at the bracket. I would love to not have to worry about that moving forward, but we'll see if K-State can meet us halfway on that and take care of business in Morgantown tomorrow. We're going to be handing it off to Mitch Fortner and John Kurtz at the MHS Gymnasium here in about 20 minutes for MHS basketball against the Emporia Spartans. We will also have You Can't Be Serious coming your way to finish off the show and the week in about 10 minutes. You're listening to The Game on News Radio KMAN.